So we're going to actually reschedule the review of council rules, ethics, and conflicts of interest to a future work session and go ahead and skip ahead to the solid waste collection, or do you need the dates and times for a budget retreat, or will you do that at the end?
We can do that at the end, because
okay. That's
Matthew where he's at.
Okay. All right. Solid waste collection alternatives.
Me again. Well, thank you for letting us present this tonight. I've got Steve Hunt, the solid waste manager, and Damon Brown, collection superintendent, with me to help answer questions. So, I think somebody on the council asked for some alternatives, and so our attempt here is to provide some different alternatives that would be available for residential curbside collection. So the first thing I'd like to try to do is kind of give you a status of how our current operations work, and then options for future collections, which could include privatizing the system, continuing with our regular current program, eliminating the requirement for the logo bags, or to automate. So right now we're serving about 35,500 customers each week for both garbage and recycling. It's broken down into 8 routes each day for garbage, 5 routes each day for recycling if it's provided on a weekly basis. Staffing has not been sufficient to be able to provide reliable weekly collections, so we've been running 3 routes each day and serving customers every other week. So with our garbage collection, it's kind of a pay-as-you-throw system that requires the use of logo bags. The city provides our customers 104 of these bags each year. If a customer needs additional bags, they're $2 a piece. We'll collect bulky items. We'll pick up 1 item each year at no cost. And after that, it's $21.50 for an individual item, or $5 for each additional item that's collected on the same trip. And then we still offer major appliance pickup, $21.50 if it doesn't have refrigerants, $29.50 if it does. And recycling, we collect containers in blue bags. There's no bag limit. We'll provide all the bags if somebody wants. If they call in, they'll get more vouchers. And then the different types of fiber we collect. So even with our system as it is now, we need to change it if we leave it alone, because we're pretty much at the limit of what staff can collect in a day. We're getting up to close to 900 homes per truck, and we need to add a route that would get us back down to a little under 800 homes per truck, so we'd add 45 routes a week instead of 40. And we need to add a route on recycling as well, for the same reasons, if we could ever get staffed enough to provide it on a weekly basis. And this is just a summary of all the positions that are currently in our residential curbside collection program. One thing I'll point out is, if you see up in the upper right-hand corner, we've got 15 vacant residential curbside collections staff positions are empty. If we added those 2 additional routes that I talked about, we would need to increase our total staffing from 31 to 37 if we were full staffed.
Can you go back, Dave?
Yes.
So you're saying right now you currently have 15 vacancies? Yes. How has that been over the last year or 2 years?
It's been that way. Damon, you remember when we dropped recycling?
Year and a half, 2 years.
I mean, we've seen a steady increase in vacancies. It started getting kind of bad in 2015, which is what the next slide shows, where we actually became dependent upon having a temporary staffing agency in order to do our essential function. And we've never gotten back to the point where we could rely on city employees. And we've gotten to the point where we don't, you know, with 15 CDL driver positions vacant, we can't provide a reliable weekly recycling collection service. So we've gone to every other week. If we get enough staff where we think we can go to weekly, we will. But I sure don't want to start it up and then 2 weeks into it say, oh, we're back every other week. So we got to be confident that we can move forward.
So with the, when we added the ad pays, did we see a, were we able to hire positions?
So that, no, I'll get a little bit out of order here. So our rate of pay for refuse collectors starting at $17 an hour, senior refuse collectors $18.70. With the manual collections, we have two ad pays. So if you are riding on the back of the truck and driving, alternating, you get $7.50 an hour above your starting rate of pay. If you're just driving and you have two temporary employees on the back, you get an extra $5 an hour. We implemented that fiscal year 21, the ad pay, and it did not make any substantial difference in our ability to recruit or retain personnel. And matter of fact, we have staff that will go from residential collections into commercial collections just because it's an easier job, it's more automated. And we've only had one city employee that has come from another division to solid waste to do that, and that was because they wanted the ad pay. And you know, some of the major drivers on this with the staffing is it's dangerous and it's demanding physically for the people. You know, you're stepping up and down off a truck. If you're switching off and on 400 or 500 times a day. And then the other thing we're facing, which is we're facing in a lot of divisions, is a shortage of people with CDLs. I know the utilities department currently has 41 positions that are vacant that require a CDL.
And Matt, you had a question.
So of the six, so it sounds like you got 16 people on staff now and 15 vacancies, right? You got 31
total staff and 15 vacancies. Yes.
So you have 31. So you have budgeted for 46.
No. Of that 31, 15 of those positions.
Okay, so you have 16 people that are working
yes.
for you now. Of those 16, how many are receiving that $5 or $7.50? You know, every day.
I would say majority of them, except maybe some of the supervisors.
Yes.
Okay. And that would only be if the supervisor were required to actually run a route instead of do what they're intended to.
Right, so the actual pay for most workers is somewhere between 22 and 25
yes, sir.
An hour. And then do you have, what about vacancies on the commercial collection side?
There are some vacancies there, and there's vacancies at the landfill. Off the top of my head, I don't remember what the total in the division is.
One at the landfill, two at the MRF, and
four.
How big is the staff on the commercial? How many positions?
There's 67 total, so four out of about 30.
Four, okay. Okay, thanks.
Now I'm going to show you something. How do I turn this off? Video is not working, so I'll do it this way. When I say it's dangerous, watch the lower right corner. This is the actual video from one of our collection vehicles. And it's a nice sunny day, so it's not inclement weather or anything to compound the problems.
Is that person a temporary worker or a full-time in city employee?
At the time, he was a full-time city employee.
Press escape.
Escape again?
Yeah.
It's not doing it.
Do Alt-Tab and you'll get out.
There we go.
So I have a question about that, just because I used to do personal injury defense work. The fact that he stepped off the truck while it was still moving, are the employees under some kind of timing pressure that they have to stay on a schedule that thus encourages them to step off the truck while it's still moving?
I would say no.
He looks like he lost his balance.
Yeah. It's more of a lost his balance type of thing.
Looked to me like he stepped off, then he fell.
What was the result of this? What?
Do you know what the result was? I don't.
Yeah, so the gentleman in the video actually ended up in the hospital for a few days. He had injured, recovered, remained employed for another 4 or 5 months, and then decided his career is not for him. Voluntarily left the city, left the soldiers. In this video, what you see him stepping off is because he's holding onto the truck and he lost his balance. So you see a leg kicking out. He's standing on the step inside the truck, lost his balance, and then let go.
Okay.
And I'll point out that in 2003, the city of Columbia did have a worker that fell off a truck, got run over, and killed. Lamar Jackson, I believe. So it is dangerous.
Yes, I understand.
So one of the options that we could look at, if you wanted to, is to privatize collections. I think there's a lot of disadvantages with that. It eliminates city jobs. It would be a very lengthy, complex transition. I think if we were to try to go out to bid to transition or something, you'd probably start seeing staff looking for other positions. We might fail before we could even get it accomplished. It doesn't address the CDL driver shortage issue. It only transfers that problem to private corporate companies. We would probably lose a lot of the ability to have influence over the program and how it looks. Is it roll carts? Is the bulky items get collected? Is it bags only? We just wouldn't have those options. Likely would not improve the quality of service for our customers. Most likely it would result in a higher monthly charge. We still have customers who wouldn't be happy. I guess they wouldn't be our customers anymore. The only advantage is we just wouldn't have to deal with garbage and recycling collections, and we wouldn't have to deal with the issues with staff and vehicles, but that all just be transferred to a private entity.
And this one is not something that we would recommend.
It's just an alternative.
But it is an alternative that we have to look at.
Mm-hmm. And there's two ways to do that, at least two ways. One way is we could contract with the company, and we would still like do the billing and all that, but we would still be getting the phone calls, even if we privatize it. The city's going to get the phone call, regardless of who's providing the service. Or the other way is you just open it up, and anybody can collect garbage. And my mother and father-in-law live in St. Joe, and they said that there are three different companies come through their subdivision every week on three different days collecting garbage. Yeah. And I don't think these are good. This is a good option, but it's an alternative. The next one would be to continue with the logo back program. Advantages: we don't have any operational changes required, and customers are familiar with the program.
Might change that word.
Well, advantages.
33,000 are familiar with the program. Oh,
painfully so, yeah.
Disadvantages is that doesn't help any with our employee recruitment or retention. The cost and difficulties with just getting the bags and getting the vouchers and all that, it's an issue. And there's low customer satisfaction.
I think it's just because the people that are happy don't tell you they're happy. Because we're now getting emails saying, don't you dare go to roll carts because, you know, this works just fine the way it is. So it just depends who's upset at the, you know, what day.
So then, another option would be to eliminate the logo bag program. Just quit providing the bags altogether. Only provide blue bags. So that has very minimal operational changes required. It simplifies the program for the users. A person could use any garbage bag they want. They could put it at the curb. As long as it didn't weigh more than 50 pounds, we would collect it. It would reduce our operational costs by about $1.2 million per year, which is what we're spending to provide black garbage bags to the customers today.
But then are we back where we were before?
No, that's
that the next
that still has to be in a bag, and it still can't be over 50 pounds, so you still couldn't put the huge piles of garbage at the curb that included just loose books and everything in the house.
But that was in the ordinance before.
Right.
It wasn't enforced.
But it has some disadvantages, as it doesn't improve the working conditions, and it may have a negative impact because you could end up with something like this where you have 50 bags of garbage in front of someone's house, which is probably not going to happen with the logo bag program. Mm-hmm.
And Dave, in this scenario, are people paying extra, or is everybody paying the same monthly rate?
If everybody's paying the same, they're buying their own bags.
Then that is not a utility.
Okay. Well, it would go away from the patient throw process, and actually it would open it up to where you would end up with, you could end up potentially with a house where you have unlimited number of bags outside waiting to be picked up.
Which is what we had before. Which is one of the reasons we went to the logo bag.
Yes.
Correct.
Because you could put anything that went in a bag at the curb, in any bag.
Well, the difference is they didn't have to put anything in a bag. They could just put anything.
Well, they did. We just didn't enforce it.
But they weren't. Right. And that was the issue, is we weren't enforcing that part.
But there's no limitation on the number of bags, which is one of the
ones. Under this system, there would be no limitation. Because you run the difficulty of trying to figure out whose bag, whose trash is it.
Right.
And so you go to a house, you say, okay, we'll pick up these four bags, we won't pick up anything else. You don't know where those other bags came from. So it sometimes would be very difficult in order to monitor that process.
Well, I think we're going the wrong way if we do that. Just my opinion, not that you asked, but I'm going to
We're just looking at alternatives. And I'll go back and say this wouldn't help improve employee recruitment or retention, because if you pull up and see that, you're not going to be a very happy employee. And it definitely does nothing to encourage recycling or waste reduction. So
the irony that house had a dumpster in its driveway.
It does have a roll-off in the driveway and 50 bags at the curb. So another option would be to automate curbside collections. And one big advantage is it would improve working conditions by eliminating the two big hazardous pieces, which is riding on the back of the truck and then manually lifting and loading the trucks. It should improve the ability of the city to hire and retain staff by providing better opportunities for long-term employment. A person that's driving a truck and operating controls is going to be able to physically do that job much longer than they can ride on the back of the truck and manually load garbage. It has a potential to improve the level of service. It doesn't address shortage of people with CDL licenses. It would require a lot of training for both customers and staff. Customers are sometimes resistant to change. Ad pay may go away, and that may result in some of the staff saying, I don't want to work here any longer. But that also could be addressed with our classification and compensation study that is ongoing. We may find out they should be getting paid more than they are now. And we're still going to have dissatisfied customers. It doesn't matter what program we go to. Some people are not going to be happy that they have to have a roll cart and they have to find a place to put it. So we're going to have unhappy customers. So we got a rough estimate of what it would cost to implement this program. It's about $10.2 million, we believe. The trucks are about $300,000 a piece. So if we assume that we have 9 routes for garbage, 6 routes for recycling, 3 trucks for backup, so when trucks or broke down or having maintenance, we have $5.4 million for vehicles. Our current price for a 96-gallon roll cart is $52.65. So if we got the 36,200 trash carts, which gives us about 1% extra for new customers and what have you, is $1.9 million. if we assume 70% of the people participate in recycling, it's a lower number of carts, it's about 1.4 million. And I doubled that in this estimate because under our current system, if it stays the same as it is, we would need to have two carts because we have a dual stream recycling system. So you'd need 1.4 million, one for cans, one for fiber. Or cans and bottles and glass.
Dave's real gonna have to throw up a hand real quick. The 96 gallon can fit 7 to 10 trash bags in it. And I don't think that's average for our city. So are we looking at a variety of size options?
We haven't gotten to the point of that detail, but you know, we could look at maybe the 65 gallon size as a normal, and then if you needed more, you could have two. We could look at the 32 gallon size for, say, somebody who has a house pickup that's not physically able to go to the street and they want something smaller, or they just, I don't generate any trash, I need a smaller one. We may look at different rates. Okay. But
I see that and I'm like,
this isn't gone to that level of detail.
Yes.
Can I just ask how, we might need to purchase trucks, but would we be purchasing them all at the same time?
Mm-hmm. Because that's coming. That's okay. Coming.
All right, and then Carl also.
I'll let you go to the next slide.
It's coming.
Carl has a question as well. Sorry, Carl.
Yeah, some of this is a little bit of to review a little bit what you said. As I recall, historically, when we had the lead up to the discussion of the first referendum, we were talking about, there was even a demonstration project where there were three different sizes of roll carts that were sitting out in the lobby. That was an option, and that's what people were looking at as an option. Obviously, there might be doubled for recycling, as you suggest, because we're trying to encourage that kind of thing. So all of those are potential options. But as I also recall, some of the initial estimates, and they probably were rough estimates, were somewhere in the neighborhood of 6 to 8 million. The last one I heard a couple of years ago when we were talking about it was about $12 million or so. This is the latest figure, and now it's 10.1. But it's not based on some of these various sizes of carts and all the rest of it. So how did we get from 12 down to 10.1? That's because we don't have some of these other options included in what that estimate was originally? Or
we're just using the contract price that we have for our current contract for the roll cart. So that's an actual valid today price. And 2 years ago when I was up here, I don't know what price I used. And then the trucks, you all contacted vendors recently and they're $300,000. And when I did the back of the napkin, 12 million a couple years ago, I know I had a higher number than 300 for the trucks. And I think I had more trucks.
Okay.
And I think though what you're also getting to is that we've never actually really had a plan.
Yeah. No.
It's always been like this theoretical, let's talk about this issue and raise it as an important thing to talk about. We haven't actually seen like, here's what it would look like from this, you know what I mean? Like this is what y'all would propose we do. And then to Betsy's point about the cost of trucks, what do we spend? We annually replace trucks anyway.
That's kind of,
okay.
That's
okay.
Kind of slide. See?
Apparently, but wait, there's more.
So I wanted to point this out that the industry standard for roll carts, the warranty is 10 years. The manufacturer fixes them. On bags, both blue bags and black bags, we're spending over $1.5 million a year. So over a 10-year period of time, if we had an automated system in place, we would reduce our expenditure on bags alone by $15.5 million. So the cost to implement this program would be offset just by the bag cost savings in less than the 10-year warranty period on the cars.
And also, Dave, can we get these slides too? Like, I don't think it was a hyperlink on the agenda. Okay, thank you. Helpful.
So, if you want a potential implementation plan, right now we've got a request for proposal out that's been issued. We want a consultant to evaluate our recycling program, collections, MRF, everything, and to make recommendations to improve our operations and help meet goals in our climate action adaptation plan. So right now today, I would say let's not make any changes to recycling collection until we get that study back. So that is the reason I'm gonna propose with this implementation plan to delay addressing recycling by going to any automated system for a couple of years.
Is that because one of the potential recommendations would be like single stream versus dual stream?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
And they're also reviewing like the MRF or.
And, yes. You know, and you know, it's to look at the materials we process. Do we want to add more materials? Do we want to get rid of some material that doesn't really have a market? Different things. So, if we transition curbside refuse to an automated system over time, we currently, in this year's budget, have four residential refuse collection vehicles budgeted to be replaced at $1.3 million. Normal fleet replacement. Money's already budgeted. No additional funds. We could defer these in 2022 and then reappropriate that money in 2023 to purchase four side-loading automated collection vehicles. So instead of replacing the current rear-loading trucks, we would just be getting four side-load trucks for money that's already budgeted. We only need nine. In FY23, we currently are proposing to get five rear-load trucks for $1.5 million, and we could simply not buy rear-load trucks, get side-load trucks. There again, normal fleet replacement, not an additional cost. That means we could get nine trucks all at the same time with no additional cost beyond what was budgeted this year and is proposed to be budgeted next year.
So now the question is, how many years behind are they in producing these trucks?
That's an interesting question, because if we have talked to some vendors, and if we are not real, real particular and say, well, the truck has to have A, B, C, and D, blah, blah, and take what's available, we might be able to go pick them up, what, in a month, a week?
Well, that's a little different than 2 years I heard of.
If we bid them like we have our normal trucks and we've got a contract and it requires certain specific items on those trucks, it's about a 2-year process right now.
Okay.
So it's, if we're willing to buy off the lot, we can get them quickly. If we're not willing to buy off the lot, and that would take discussions with fleet, the people that's got to maintain the trucks, people right. that's got to operate the trucks, right. everything,
and
which path would we go down?
And to the mayor's point, did they have seat belts?
Right. I mean, that's like, what are we like, not doing?
What are we not getting? And this is
what do you lose
really
buying off the lot?
Another question.
Yeah, Carl had a question.
Just another question. How do we answer the criticism that side-loading trucks are not sufficient? This brings back that whole argument about the hybrid system.
All right. There's a truck that's available that does both side-loading, has a hopper and a back. You could make a couple of those trucks, that version of truck, and then in areas where you have maybe too much parking, I'm thinking of East Campus or something, where you might not be able to service the carts with,
right.
with the sidearm. You still give everybody the cart, they still put their cart at the curb. But then in those areas, we could have staff that do maybe ride the back of the truck that would actually collect the cart, drag it out to the street, or take the bags out and throw it in the back of the truck as opposed to using the side collection. But we wouldn't need the entire fleet to have that dual function.
Right.
You could also put a second person there that just rolls the cart out far enough. You could use the side load.
And it may be a case, you know, where, all right, we're heading over to subdivision X and somebody goes over in a pickup and tags along with them, and then they go on to the next deal. So it's,
and that would also answer the one of the criticisms about some of the folks that are either infirmed or disabled or elderly, or I know we have a program, but
we will always have to go to homes
that we
pick
can
up
service.
Garbage at the door,
right?
For people that can't bring it to the curb,
right.
That'll just always be there,
right?
We can do that.
And we do that now.
I have one quick question. It looks like implementation for this would take less time than maybe some of us have thought if
yep.
we were to make a decision.
Yep.
So is that right? We could begin making this transition as early as FY23?
I believe so.
Of course, we'd have to look at like a really specific plan versus...
We would have to,
now,
yes.
Now.
And even before that, we have to vote next week. Next
that's,
week.
Right.
And
that's right. That's right.
And we don't need to know, I mean, we can hold off issuing a PO for those four trucks until after, if this election happens in August, depending on what council does
what
at the
election?
Next meeting. If council chooses to change the ordinance and tells us to go down this path, we just aren't going to purchase the trucks and we're going to ask you to reappropriate the funds next year, if that's what you want us to do. If you choose to let it go to an election, after the election results are in, then if we move to automated, we can still have the money, you know, if it doesn't get approved, to where we could buy the rear load trucks this year. We still got time to issue POs.
But Dave, as a reminder, the election is just about that part of the ordinance. It's not, you know what I mean?
So
it's like, you're still without plan.
All right, then.
So, I can say one other thing we need in the budget for 23 to do this would be $1.9 million for purchase of the trash carts. About $1.2 million would be offset by not buying black bags next year. So to get the 9 trucks and all the carts would take a one-time budget increase of about $710,000 in the FY23 budget. Yes?
Well, I'm going to look at DeCarlin for a minute. DeCarlin, I have a couple of questions. And so I want you to know I have a couple of questions. So I'm still struggling with the fact that my first year going through the budget, our trash collection employees came to us and asked for a 5-bag limit. Mm-hmm. And they expressed at the time, I think they were still neutral at that time as to whether or not we migrated to trash carts or we stayed the way we were. What they were there for was the 5-bag limit. Mm-hmm. So why did we not implement that?
I believe we tried. And so that was the whole thought between going to the logo bags. The idea was with the logo bags, you were limiting the amount of bags that would be put in a home. And so the big concern with just having an unlimited amount of bags is that there's no controls over how many
sure.
bags.
Sure, no, I get it.
And so with the logo bags, the pay-as-you-throw process, it was something that would curtail people from putting out so many bags that it became difficult for our drivers to.
But you get that what we gave then was a logo bag 2 a week when they asked for 5. Just a 5-bag limit. That was pretty much all I recall them asking for at the beginning of the budget process. Now that I think back on it,
yeah, I mean, I don't remember necessarily the low limit to number of 5. I think the biggest issue was we had an unlimited system.
Of course.
We allowed. So I mean, their biggest complaint was it's not stop day, but the day where everyone moves out of the rental properties and you end up with this load of this monster
sure.
where I just cleaned out my house so I can get it ready for my next set of tenants, and now it's up for the city to give it all this
sure.
stuff. And so that's where our drivers were facing.
Okay.
I mean, one of the things that we do know, and it was a slide that we kind of took out, but it showed a picture of the faces of the employees that were hired in 2018. And when you asked how many of those people were still here working for residential collection, I think the number was
5.
Yeah. And so we know that this current work isn't sustaining our employees. And there's just a constant turnover. And as we've put a lot of Band-Aids on it, we haven't fixed the system.
So that leads to my second question, because when they came in, when we had the public hearing about whether or not we lift the ban or we let the voters do it,
mm-hmm.
their representative came and said, mm-hmm. our people are okay with it going to the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm always trying to balance out what do the workers want in this process. And so they appear to be neutral.
Well, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think part of their concern, back in 2015 when it first came out,
yeah.
the fear was that if the city went to roll carts, we're all going to lose our jobs.
And I think to Pat's point, one of the things, though, is that they also want to have that option to help with the providing of the solutions. And
mm-hmm.
so just wondering from Solid Waste how that conversation is happening on potential solutions.
So,
when we get to the end of this, we're
going to ask. Because I was like, I see from my house, but I don't see from the back. Actually, I have written on the back of the truck.
When we get to the end of this, we're going to ask for some guidance.
Okay.
Once we have a better idea of what you would like us to investigate, we are going to then meet with staff that actually does this work and get their feedback from the beginning as we put together whatever you ask us to do.
We still have two more questions.
Just
not done
one.
Yet.
Oh, okay. I guess it's a second.
May I continue?
Yeah, no, I thought you said two.
Well, no, I said I had several. Okay. So then we get to the place where I used to argue with Mr. Glasscock all the time about what we were providing to folks in order to encourage them to want to be CDL drivers for the trash collection section. And I talked with him specifically about all of the things that somebody needs to do in order to become a CDL driver and the risk that they are placed. Talk about bodily infringement. All of a sudden, their health matters. All kinds of things matter, including the ability of whomever the medical provider is to order a sleep study for them and or make them have a CPAP. And I think that applies also to our bus drivers. So I'm wondering, have we made any progress in absorbing all of those costs up front for our folks so that they don't have to? I know it's a short term out of pocket, but if you're in the high deductible plan, you have to wait until you collect all of those flex dollars to reimburse yourself for those expenses. Have we changed that system so that we don't put those obstacles in front of our folks?
Where's Kathy? No.
We have not. And is there a reason why we haven't changed that system?
I don't know.
Yeah, I wasn't aware.
I would have to talk to HR.
Be hearing this.
You and I talked about this once,
right,
but I haven't given you the 5 times in a row treatment that I gave John Glasscock with it, and I promise you, you'll get it.
Part of our issue is that the process for hiring CDL drivers, not just for refuse collection, but for all our levels of employees who have CDL, is difficult. It's burdensome. And it's gotten even worse with some of the newer legislation that's gone down that makes it even more difficult for us to hire, maintain, and keep CDL drivers. Mm-hmm. And so, I think even if you get in front of the health stuff, you're still going to have a process with trying to get, maintain, and keep those drivers. One of our issues is to go through everything that we ask people to go through, and then you look at someone else who has that same CDL can do over the road.
Sure.
I think that's part of the issue is that and this is just federal regulations.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking at stuff that's more of someone who's driving a truck or dump truck or something that's more city centric, and they're applying these over the road issues to that process,
mm-hmm.
which is just makes the whole process very convoluted in order to hire our CDL drivers. So I think, yes, there's something we need to look at that we'll actually look at a process to better bring on our CDL drivers and maintain them. But I think, that's kind of separate from our issue with what do we do with our solid waste system.
Except that we don't have enough drivers to drive the solid waste.
We don't have enough drivers on any level for our CDLs.
And the last one is almost a rhetorical question, but I know all too well that your retirement is only as good as your pay. And when we're ad paying our folks, that is not ending up as their wages for what pensions based on.
Well,
it does count because it's
based off their salary, and that part is gets constant to their salary. I don't like ad pays personally, especially for something like this, because the issue is the salary amount.
Yes.
And this ad pay has created more issues than it has solved.
Because it's not recruitment. Like, people don't fully follow that.
Right.
I can get an additional $750.
Right.
But ad pays do count to your annual salary. So at the end of the year, your whatever it is
your
made
pension
that
will
year.
Reflect.
Yes.
Yeah,
the city's pension contribution will reflect your total salary. Okay, that's good. Okay, that was the end of my question. Thank you.
Carl, you had a question.
Yeah, Ms. Fowler suggested that there was a proposal brought forward by the workers about this 5-bag issue. And it was also discussed a bit in some of the candidate forums that this came to the level of city council. I don't recall it ever coming to the level.
It did.
Well, I was there and I don't remember it.
Me
so.
Too. I was there too.
Well, I don't remember. At any rate, regardless, I understand that the number that came from the staff, the data that came from the staff suggested that there was a 1.6 bag average per household in the city. That's, is that correct? Is that?
That was in 2015, yeah.
That seems right, in my memory.
And that's how they came up with the number of
that's
the
two where
beds,
I thought
perhaps.
It came
yeah.
from.
That and the aspect that the counting bags becomes very difficult to enforce or regulate for staff. They pull up, four bags, is there six bags? Well, now we got to take a picture to document it, and well, was that the neighbor's bag, or was so? That's where the logo bags came from.
I also recall there was a suggestion to look into the possibility of tagging some of the bags, using regular bags but tagging them. And I believe, if I recall correctly, that there was a conversation about that with regard to a black market tagging and all of that kind of stuff. Is that an accurate?
I think that was a big fear with if we went to like a tag system as opposed to the logo system, that the tags can be counterfeited.
Right.
Or the tags will fall off, or it just, you know, it created a lot of nuances that were outside our control, whereas with a logo bag, you know what it is because you see it and you got it.
Thank you.
So after that, after we got our report back for our recycling program, based on what the recommendations are in that, whether it's a single stream, dual stream, whatever, then we can follow up in fiscal year 24 with $1.8 million for replacement of split hopper trucks with side loading trucks. And if it still is a dual system, they do make split hopper side loading trucks. There again, that would be typical fleet replacement. It's not, instead of replacing the split hoppers that we already have, we'd be replacing those with a different style of truck. We'd need $1.4 million for carts, assuming a single stream system. It would be double if it was a dual stream. And that would be an offset at least $1.5 million by not purchasing bags. And then in fiscal year 25, we could put $900,000 in for the backup three trucks and just deal with, you know, as we implement this, if we have trucks go down, try to combine routes and maybe have some manual collections or what have you. And then fiscal year 25 would be offset by savings from bag purchases again. So while it's an expensive program to implement, it doesn't really have a need for you to say, I've got $10 million right here that I can give you to do this program if you do it over a 2 or 3 year period of time.
Did you check or have you heard anything about whatever size roll carts we go to? When we had spoken, there was again quite a backup, or we thought there was quite a backup on roll carts. And then my follow up is, anybody look at pretty looking roll carts instead of ugly looking roll carts? That's a big issue, you know.
Do you know on time frame on delivery of those?
Yeah, we have not contacted the vendors to see if there's a delay.
Okay. So that would be more information that,
yeah,
if we get to this slide that says, you know, we'd be happy to investigate any of these alternatives that you'd like. And we can provide detailed plan for implementation with the information like that of delivery schedules on trucks, delivery schedules on carts, the options for different size carts, and what the physical impact would be for anything you might want us to look at, or two or three or all of them.
Well, there's also concern about whether it would cost. It doesn't sound like from what you said that we would have to raise the cost for any of this collection, but we haven't looked at that either, I presume. Specifically.
We haven't looked at it specifically. I will remind you that we did have a cost service study done for solid waste. And we had the results of council in December. The commercial, the landfill, the roll-off, all the recommendation rate increases in there that are needed for those portions of the division are still needed. Okay. The only thing we would need to do is probably have another contract with our consultant and say, here's the plan we put together. What would we need to do for rates for residential?
Okay.
Dave, have you looked into also, you know, 7 years ago when this discussion was happening for the third time, did you pull up latest workman's comp, employee turnover, cost employee turnover? Because besides just those implementation schedule.
I think Steve had pulled up a bunch of work comp
and if you need, you can play the video again.
Stuff, but I would hope that as we would transition and get less people on the back of trucks, because even with this, even with what we just talked about here, you're still recycling at least 2 years out, that it would provide a work environment where people would be less likely to get injured. I would hate to say it guarantees less injuries. We're still gonna have people going up to homes to collect garbage, packing it back down to the street. You know, if we have a hybrid system of some sort, you still might have people riding on the back of the trucks. I can tell you that in the last few years, we had some really high work comp claims in admin. They weren't from the people riding the back of the truck.
Okay.
So I would not count on work comp reductions as any definite, definable
savings.
Amount of savings for the utility. We just would anticipate that they would go down some level.
And then the cost of employee turnover was my other question.
I don't have a number for that.
Okay.
We didn't investigate that at all.
Okay.
Just one other issue, that, notwithstanding customer satisfaction, and that you have to understand that because that's critical. But the point was that with the bag system that we have, despite the problems that we had with the contractors because of various issues and so on, it did limit the amount of landfill deposits significantly, did it not? And it did encourage recycling significantly at the same time. Not saying that's the answer to it, but that it did do those two things, did it not?
I believe it did. The last data that I put together showed a decrease in total tons collected curbside and it showed an increase in recycling. If you moved an automated system like this and you put a 65-gallon cart out, for instance, that would be the equivalent of 2 bags per week. If the lid doesn't close on the cart, it wouldn't be dumped. So if you needed more than the 65 gallons, you would have to rent a second cart each month with an additional charge.
If you assumed a 65-gallon cart, if that's the...
Or
if
65 actually holds 5 to 7 bags. Just throwing that out there.
Well, I'm just going with 33-gallon bag, 65-gallon cart. I mean, so it's not an unlimited.
Yeah, no,
if it doesn't fit in the cart,
it's still pay as you throw. I suspect it is a little bit more throw than pay, but yeah.
I think that there would still, because of the cart size restricting the amount of volume of garbage you could put out, I think it would still encourage recycling.
Exactly. And then I also want to make sure that we don't go over and get late to the next room.
Okay. I do have a few questions. Would you say that the current vendor for our bags is meeting the fulfilling the terms of their contract?
That's probably a discussion in closed session.
Well, how many responsive bids did we get when we put that out last time?
One.
Wow. So we don't really have...
No real option for that. If we're going to continue down the logo bag program, what I believe we need to do, and I've mentioned it to Mr. Seawood, is do the vouchers in-house and just contract for the bags. I think that would give us competition for the bags, because there are multiple people who would provide us bags. Nobody will provide the voucher mailing and redemption and all that.
Yeah.
So if we decide to continue down this path in the future, that's where I would recommend we go. And we do have staff that deal with operating a warehouse and such as that, and to transload, and solid waste can pay them to do the work, and it would be good for transload and be good for solid waste.
About how many bags does our $1.5 million a year buy?
We give 104 rolls per customer times 5,000.
Plus the recycling, but that's unlimited number.
And that's an unlimited number, but that's a lower number. I can get you the number we've purchased in the last few years. Exact numbers.
Yeah. But just 100.
33.4 million. So you said 33,000 customers and it's 104.
35,000.
35,000.
Roughly 35,000, something like that. I don't remember what it was at the beginning here. Yeah.
So 4 million.
3.6 million bags.
Right.
35,500 residential customers.
Right. So.
And that's if they're just doing the number they're allotted, not right. paying extra.
Right. I had a constituent ask me if there was a system for automated collection of bags.
Not that I'm aware of.
Like the claw?
I'm not sure. And so, you know, we hear about the vacancies and the lack of staffing. Now, I don't hear those. I mean, there's obviously staffing problems across the board, every city, every company in the country. I don't hear the same level of trouble filling positions in solid waste divisions in other cities, but I don't talk to folks, you know, in other cities in your types of jobs every day. How would you just sort of qualitatively compare our vacancy issues with vacancy issues in other cities with the knowledge that you have?
The few people that I've talked to in other organizations are experiencing vacancy problems the same as we are, and they're experiencing problems with getting licensed CDL operators to operate their equipment.
Okay. Are other cities cutting back on their service?
That I do not know. I'd have to do a little research.
Yeah, because that's another thing I don't hear about, but maybe
I think
it's
happening. And if a lot of cities had switched over to an automated system years ago. When I was in St. Louis in, I think, 2005 is when we saw like Allied Waste Management, all those companies go from a bag system to an automated system where they had two roll-off containers and an automated truck.
Right. Good. That's kind of my next question is how do
here's
other people?
A bunch of articles, labor shortage means nobody wants to pick up your trash, staff shortages in waste management leads to interrupted trash collection. Labor shortages stink for some worse than others. Trash collection suffers delays in Denver. So there's a whole page full of articles there that all talk about trash collection being curtailed to some level because of shortage of CDL operator licensed drivers.
And then going all the way back to the beginning, the privatization chart that you had. One of the things you said was about losing control and potentially not improving quality. I mean, are those not terms that you would write into any contract?
Well, yeah, you would. But so let's say you go with a private hauler and you say, okay, we're going to contract out for the city system. Somebody's going to come in, they'll give you a contract, and they'll say, okay, we'll be able to do A, B, and C, and D. 9 times out of 10, some of the issues that we've had with staffing, they'll have. And so you'll have people say, hey, my trash wasn't picked up. I need somebody to do something. And right now, because we own the landfill, because we have the employees, if it's not picked up, we'll send
Damon
back out there, and he'll go out there and he'll go pick it up. So okay. With that new hauler, you'll have to have in their contract written in that they're going to have someone on staff to go by and pick up trash that's missed. And so the last few cities I worked for, we contracted out with either Allied or Waste Management for our service. And when I was in Ferguson for the first contract we negotiated with, we put in our contract, they had to pay us for the issues with the calls for complaints because we had that many level of complaints because we no longer controlled the system. And so when you give up that control, you give up control. And so it does mean that your staff's not doing it, but someone's going to have to go out and collect for those for that service. The other thing that you're going to have is 9 times out of 10, most service providers, if they're going to do a contract for the citywide, they're not going to do the billing. They're going to want the city to do the billing because that's the only way they can guarantee that they'll get paid. And so it becomes more of that big of an issue where now we're the collector of this private entity.
Yes. We also lose our ability to track our commitment to the climate action adaptation plan when we privatize it because that gets outsourced. The measurement pieces aren't there for us to access.
You can still require them to give you reports.
Sure.
But there's no guarantee of what you have for those reports.
Right.
And it may be might sound kind of bad, but I'm going to say it anyway, so please forgive me. But the first time you go out to bid, you can bid everything we have in our ordinance today, bulky item collections at this rate and this and that. And we transition, and you go out to renew that 2 years from now, and they may say, we're not going to do that anymore. Or now we don't have the staff to do it, and we don't get anybody to respond that says, we will do bulky items.
Or if we do it, we're going to do it at a 20% increase, because that's what it's going to cost us in order to staff them for it.
So I think once you lose the control, you're going to lose control.
So in our lot, so we have just a couple of minutes. So what direction do you need, or what the staff, I mean, council?
What direction can we?
Yeah, that's our thing. This is kind of, I feel like we can't really do as much.
We can't really do anything until we discuss this at the next meeting. I think, as far as direction, hold in place. You can tell us to study something all day long if you want us to, but we can't implement anything, so I think it's worth it until we can do something about it. Otherwise, it's like a waste of their time. We're wasting our money and your time.
Seems to me that there's two things still on the table, depending on how the council decides, and that is either the suggestion that you made, if we stay with the logo bags or bags of some sort, the thing about the vouchers, separating the vouchers from the rest of it, that's one path forward. And the other path forward is some of the detail that you've offered here with paying for some of the trucks and the automated equipment and so on. And I think those are two viable alternatives. It all depends on a lot, I guess, more public input, and it's always forthcoming on this issue, and what the council decides at the next meeting.
Well, part of the comp and class consider the ad pay as a permanent fixture, or no?
It will. What it will look at is it will look at the salaries and look at what the salaries should be. It's not really going to look at the ad pay per se. But that is a known quantity that they know that that's an issue. So it may be taken in, but normally what they'll just look at is how do the salaries line up.
Thank you. Let's do that. Okay.
So I just want to be clear, because of course I have an uptick in mail like the rest of us now, because we're talking about it again. So we could be doing everything but voting to implement roll cards right now. There's no prohibition against that. We could be talking about it. Is that correct? I understand that we want to wait so we don't waste energy, because it's the efficiency of time. I get that. But people are writing to me and telling me all kinds of variations of what's really going on here, which is always fascinating. So yes, we could be talking about all of our options. We could be continuing to plan for all of our options, but we're choosing to wait. Is that correct?
That's what I would do.
Yeah, I think we're...
No, I'm just trying to get the restatement of what is actually going on.
Yeah, from a staff perspective, it's about direction. Now, it's about what the policy is the city would like for us to look at. So if it's looking at bringing back at a more comprehensive plan on automated systems, we can do that.
Sure.
Or if it's looking at, you know, a more comprehensive plan on changing out the back system, we can do that as well.
Okay.
But it's about direction.
Sure. Thank you.
I wouldn't replace those four trucks or whatever this year.
Those trucks are on hold.
Right.
And right now, the trucks that are in this current budget for the upcoming fiscal year is also on hold until we know exactly what direction we're heading.
Okay.
Add one thing to close.
Yes.
I want to be conscientious about us not conflating the two things right now. And I realize that it's really easy to do that. But my reason for wanting to hold the discussion and providing that guidance is because much of the citizen engagement emails that we're getting is no roll cards, yes roll cards. That's not what we're voting on next time.
Right.
We're voting on can we consider them as an option.
Right.
And I feel like if we move forward and giving guidance now, it's going to conflate the two and muddy the waters even more than they've already been done. Yeah.
I agree.
Okay. Are we okay with adjourning?
Yes, ma'am.
Five minutes?
Yeah.
Well,
get
what
it.
About the,
what?
Can we have another item?
No. We need to talk about...
The budget
recruit dates. Matthew.
Oh, we're checking.
You have 30 seconds. Don't mess it up.
You looked at a Saturday in June.
Yeah.
Couldn't this meeting have been an email? Sorry.
I believe it's Saturday the 18th.
Of what month?
June was the date, and then that problem.
It's the house and its household.
Is that going to keep you busy all day? Saturday, June 18th.
And we're looking at about 4 hours, maybe 4 to 5 hours for the council.
It wouldn't be the whole day or an 8-hour day or anything. Just a quick discussion, well, not a quick discussion, a robust discussion about budget, where we're heading, you know, your priorities before we get to the meeting in the council.
Okay, I'm comfortable with it. Pat, does that work? That works, Carl?
Yeah, I'm good. Make it work.
Dick. Betsy, yeah. Matt Pitzer, your face says, You'll make it work. 18.
It's my dad's birthday.
Yeah. What?
It's my dad's birthday. He couldn't imagine a better way for me to spend
it. I like your dad.
What did you say, June
18th?
Saturday. That's a Saturday. So Juneteenth is actually the next day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Because there's a big festival on Juneteenth.
There is a Juneteenth week.
Okay, as long as Juneteenth's on the, okay.
And that also will affect, just reminder, like Monday, that's a city holiday then, so our council meeting will be Tuesday. Okay.
Yeah, okay, got it. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Turn down.